Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. Welcome to Elevated Places. This is the 12th day of May 2022, and it is a blessing. It's so humbling to still be walking the planet Earth and to be with you this evening on Elevated Places with myself, your host, Sister Ava Muhammad, my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, and our legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, and the entire Elevated Places and Project Separation team, as well as the team of Sister Pamela Muhammad and her family and those who, many brilliant attorneys in and beyond the faith community of the Nation of Islam, for Sister Pamela's program on Tuesday nights at 7 Central, right here on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces at 7 p.m., a time for justice. We are all thrilled to be back with you again, and those of you that tune into this program, know that we have a great love and are thankful to Allah God for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Yesterday was his 89th birth anniversary. He was born May the 11th, 1933, in New York City in the Bronx. And we conducted a national prayer service to thank Allah for the minister. And so we look forward to a wonderful discussion tonight. We want to hear from our callers and what you have to say about this great achievement. And so without any further ado, to take us into the program, Brother Terrence Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, and man, we're here, right at it, right at the top of the hour, and wow, we got a new song, Dr. Ava. All right, hold on, are we dancing? Are we?
Yeah, I didn't know about it.
I was like, we ballroom dancing now. It's after dinner, so I'm like, okay, it's starting to go. Sun is starting to go down. I thought, okay, this is how we doing on Elevated Places. This is how we doing night.
I was looking for where it was because I didn't catch the name. I'm familiar with it, but I don't know the name.
Oh, well, we will definitely find out before the show is over. We will definitely find out. That was from the musical director, Brother Darius. The great Brother Darius. Yes. And let me give a shout out. You know, I haven't done this in a while. Well, I haven't probably done it at all. Let me just before we even start the show, give a big shout out to Brother Darius, because sometimes we don't want to remember the history. Oh, hold on. I'm Singing by Najee. That's the song. I'm Singing by Najee. Okay.
Najee.
That's what it is. Yes. Awesome. And I just got to give a shout out to Brother Darius, because it was 1996 in Philadelphia when I met Brother Darius, accompanying Brother David from Muhammad from Mosque number 92, and he introduced me to Brother Darius. Yes. And for 2 days, I worked with Brother Darius to help sell all of your products at that time, and that's what I started. So, yeah, so and so to the history, and I say that is because it was Brother Darius that I used to call, and he used to call me all the time, so we used to travel across the country. It was in 1997, 1998, 1999 that I was blessed to vend for you, Dr. Avon. All I had to do literally was stand behind the table, set the table up and stand there, because everybody rushed to the table every year at Savior's Day to get what you had, to get your product. And all I had to do was stand. And then from there, I would be going all across the country. And for years, I was just talking to Brother Darius, showing up at different venues and showing up at different places where you were. And I literally met our student minister, regional minister, Brother Abdul Qadir Muhammad, in Washington, D.C., standing outside your hotel waiting for you to come down, waiting on Brother Darius. And he was there. Brother Qadir was there also. And he was looking at me, and I was looking at him because I knew the brother. So I'm like, who that brother over there standing by himself? I said, I ain't with y'all. I'm over here waiting on Sister Ava. And that's how we got introduced, right outside waiting on you to come downstairs. And I say that because 15 years, literally almost out of the 27 years or 26 years that I've been working with you, it was always calling and talking to Brother Darius and setting it up. And then once this show came on, then I constantly know I had more direct contact with you, but it was that Brother Darius that we worked together for years, traveling everywhere. When you went down to Atlanta, even coming to Atlanta in the late 90s, picking you up in Atlanta, bringing you to North Carolina A&T State University, working with Brother Darius, having boxes and boxes of your books, DVDs, cassette tapes. I got shipments and all the books, and we were selling books here and there. And that was just those good old days. And I don't even know why I'm having this nostalgia, but it was just a beautiful time to work in the trenches with you, and when you were just crisscrossing, literally crisscrossing this country, going everywhere, speaking here, speaking there, and producing another book, and looking at brothers and sisters at the table, flipping over tapes. I got this tape. Where her new stuff? I need her new stuff. And Brother Darius had tapes and CDs galore, and people were like, I got that. I'll get this. And it would be like stacks and stacks of your products. And I guess I'm saying all that because now you can go to MinisterAva.com and get all of that. Go to MinisterAva.com and do the same thing. You can get virtual stacks of those lectures all of those books, all of those classes. And it was, man, you have some classes. The Last Man Standing. If they don't understand that lecture, The Last Man Standing, and you got some classic ones over in London where Brother Darius said somebody wanted to take you in a certain room to have a conversation. Said she ain't going in that room by herself. And they try to tell y'all there was only enough room for maybe three people to do a interrogation. But when they got into that room, Brother Darius said, I see eight seats around here. What y'all talking about? You ain't going to have my wife coming up in a room and y'all talk to her without me? So Brother Darius has always been that strength, that fire, that brother, that husband that was always there on deck, on post. So shout out to Brother Darius. And I don't even know how he would start the show off like that, but I guess because he was the musical director for the new song that sparked it off.
Praise be to Allah. And we're an organic program. We just roll with it, you know.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I enjoyed listening to what you just said.
Yeah, because that you know, and the beautiful thing about it, Brother Darius taught me how to sell, because, you know, people would come to the table and they would look at your products and they'll start reading the book. He was like, hey, you going to buy that? Because a lot of people would come and next thing they'll start walking off, reading the book, and they're gone. So we want to make sure that we help remind them. If you want to get it, go ahead and purchase it. Otherwise, let it down, because there's more people behind you trying to get in the line. So let's go there. But anyway, moving on, we want to thank everybody for coming on the show, and we are so grateful and so thankful for the Honorable and for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we are, as Brother Jamil said, far, far a con. He furthers you, take you farther on to your journey of spiritual growth. So, Rakan. And we are celebrating his 89th birth anniversary. But before we even get to Minister Farrakhan, we celebrated Mother Tynetta and remembered Mother Tynetta. And
yes,
I just got to give a shout-out to student minister Brother Willie in New Orleans, that on this past Sunday, he was talking on the National Network View. And they had Sister Beverly, who's now in Atlanta, and Sister Sharice, classic Vanguard, who was talking about their experiences with Mother Tynetta and their history with Mother Tynetta. And Sister Sharice brought up a time where, and when she mentioned it, I remember it was Boiling Springs Church that we had a fashion show on that. I think it was on a Saturday or on a Sunday. I forgot what it was. Sister Beverly and Mother Tynetta were doing some of our fashion, but the next day we went down into Georgia, went down to, we was in the backwoods in the country, we was on, driving on red clay, and went to the church of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's father, and we went to the church as a delegation. We were just going, and Mother Tynetta, the preacher, recognized her, and we was in the back and let her come to the pulpit, to the rostrum, to say some words to the congregation on a Sunday service. And after church service, we walked around the field because there was a burial site right there on the church, and you can see all the names of pools of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's family. And just hearing that, and Sister Callie just gave a history of, she talked about on somebody's show, I'm not sure who it was, Sister Yovanka, she did an interview, and she talked about how Mother Tynetta recalls a time that she went to a backyard in Arizona, and a baby plane landed. And Sister Callie talked about how she talked to the people, and someone came off the baby plane and said they were doing some repairs. And she said, Sister Callie said that Mother Tynetta talked to her about it as though she was familiar with them. Like, oh, hey, are y'all okay? Everything okay? Everything all right? Like, not, oh, my God, a baby plane. It was a familiarity. And then Sister Callie said, it took off, but it came another month later. But she said this happened within the 4 months of the time before she departed, or before she transitioned, for some, however you want to look at it. But it's so much history, Dr. David, I'm bringing up as we're remembering Mother Tynetta, as her birthday just passed. But we now know that we're blessed to be, and we've heard from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan this past Wednesday when we had the prayer line for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Her words from Student Minister Ishmael, but the minister, he said he wants us all to see the hereafter. And he also said he wants us to settle our differences. And it was just beautiful, beautiful words to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And on National Network View, they're going to have Dr. Petrie coming on that show, and he has a book about education using the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I remember 10 years ago that the first Skype that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did at North Carolina A&T, Dr. Petrie helped set that up. And the beauty, as I try to wrap this up, of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our guest, I think it was our guest last week, either it was last week or the week before last, but this brother and sister, formerly known Brother Eric Muhammad, and his wife, formerly known Sister Haji Muhammad, our brother, Dr. Abdul Halim Muhammad, bestowed on them via the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan the name for Brother Eric, Brother Abdul Halim Ansari Muhammad, and his wife, Sister Alima. Yeah. And I was like, wow. I actually saw a video that was on Facebook, and I started crying, Dr. Ava, because I was just so overjoyed for the believers, you know, it is believers. And as I'm talking,
I'm talking right now, and Sister Donna said she thought that thing about Mother Tanetta was in Mexico outside of her home, and it could have been. It definitely could have been. Thank you, Sister Donna. That's why we got people here to make sure we correct in our information that we're giving. Wherever it was, the fact that one landed and she was communicating with folks, man, that's enough for me, wherever the home was. But we always want to give the actual fact. But congratulations to Brother Abdul Aleem Ansari Muhammad in Houston. And yes, it is a beautiful thing to see the believers get bestowed their names. And because of the work and because of the love, the unmeasurable love of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that he would even give word to us on his day. On his day. We praying for you.
Right.
And he is still praying and loving us. And our clothes, that was a beautiful picture. Sister Amina Lee, I think out of L.A., wrote, just sent it to our team of a picture of the minister at, it was the first time seeing him live, I believe, at Mas Maryam. And she's beautiful picture of him in his green, and above him was a swan, and just the heavens above the swan. It was such a beautiful picture, and it just shows the majesty and the beauty of this man, because we know that sometimes we will see the dove representing Jesus, and for whatever reason we got this swan. And that swan song, as the minister so eloquently taught us at Savior's Day. And so, hey, I'm just full. I don't know what it is. Thursday night is the Elevated Places Network, so I just guess I get elevated. And I definitely will close, Dr. Ava. I'm glad this show is here. You know why I'm glad this show is here, Dr. Ava? Because tonight I have been responsible for bringing my mother and my father and family together for the first night of the viewing of my brother. You know, I had to make sure he was right, go to the funeral hall, check him out, and make sure he was presentable. And I did that. And I told him, I said, hold up, the viewing's from 5:30 to 7, because I got the show at 8. They didn't know that. But, you know, and we had the family come, and everything was wonderful. And we have his funeral tomorrow. But it's just a beautiful thing. To be able to bless my family and be there for them and be that rock, because we have to do that and we have to take charge of our posts. And it's just a beautiful thing. But then to be here, to get elevated in the Elevated Place. So I hope tonight we're elevated with all of us as we are struggling or dealing with things or going through, or if we're just happy and Allah has blessed us. Tonight is the night, as I turn it back to you, Dr. Dave. Tonight, I know you want to talk about world affairs. I know you want to talk about what's going on in Russia or Ukraine. I know you want to talk about the vaccine. I know you want to talk about whatever public health week, whatever it is that's going on. Nothing is more important tonight than talking about the goodness of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Let's celebrate the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan tonight on this show. So every caller, everyone that's called, Dr. Ava never stops you from bringing information and talk about what you want to share. We thank you for that. I just add that you add in a testimony or thanksgiving of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So however you want to talk about world affairs, bring in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. If you want to talk about something local, talk about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because there's nothing that you can talk about that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has not taught on already. So the answer to everything that's going on in the world, in your life, in anybody's personal situation, there's a word from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that he has already talked about and has given us guidance and instructions for. So I thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for everything he has given and doing for us. And we thank you, Dr. Ava, for being his national spokesperson and being here for us to continue the guidance from him, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and that great teacher, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Back to you, Dr. Ava.
Ooh, that was so beautiful. That was so beautiful. And we thank Allah for your mother and father and giving birth to you and your brother, your whole entire family. May Allah comfort them in this time of their loss, but knowing that his soul has returned to his creator. And, you know, the minister has said more often than usual as of late, we're all going to leave here.
That's right.
Every last one of us. That's death is one of the certainties of life, one of the few certainties, guaranteed. But it is the death of the flesh. The spirit will return to the Creator. And so we thank Allah for the life of your brother. And we thank you for being such a soldier, Brother Terrence. You always have demonstrated that no matter what is going on in your life, you make your way to this microphone each and every Thursday. And you're such a critical part of this program with your persona, your energy. It's a time in, we're in the fullness of time, and we don't have to look hard any longer to see the God in each other. All we have to do is look, and we will see the God. The minister already has acquired that ability through his humility. And I have to say, from yesterday all the way over until today, he is still overwhelmed and grateful for what happened. He's so sweet and precious and humble. And he's really, really taken with yesterday's national prayer service. And we're blessed as a people. We'll get into that more in the program. But I'm so glad you brought up our beloved sister, Tainetta Muhammad. If the people would please take some time to go. I love her articles, Unveiling the Number 19 in the Final Call newspaper. Brother Jibril, Farrakhan the Traveler. These are witness bearers to a star that has no equal. And both Mother Tainetta Muhammad and Brother Minister Jibril Muhammad bring a God-given perspective. They themselves were chosen by Allah to have the sight, that the insight that they have, and the relationship that each one of them had with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And as you spoke about her experience with, you know, interacting with the baby planes and the pilots and those on the planes, this week's article from her that was entitled "The Night of Majesty is Better Than 1,000 Months, Ramadan Mubarak." She wrote this, and I think it's so beautiful and powerful because we're talking about at this time, as the minister said in the Swan Song, he said, "Now I know who I am, and I know I am about to be taken." But she said that she wrote that after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad escaped the death plot, and his body and mind were being prepared to take on a new growth and appearance. That year, 1975, is exactly 1,000 years from the founding years of Al-Azhar Mosque and School in Cairo, Egypt, which were established in 975 AD. And she said that could be the cornerstone or marker that set the beginning of the time reckoned as Islam's setback of 4,000 years, which occurred 300 years or 300 year, three generations of progress after the death of Prophet Muhammad. Now, she writes this for us to reflect on now and where we are now. In the end of time of this 1,000-year setback, a meeting was convened by the 12 scientists in the holy city of Mecca to discuss our capture in slavery in the Western Hemisphere and how we would be returned. It was described by one of those 12 scientists that we would have to be sent a messenger to awaken us to a thorough knowledge of God's self and kind. This led to the birth of Master Fard Muhammad, who was prepared and commissioned by his father to come into the Western Hemisphere searching for and finding the lost people, the black ex-slaves of his father's house. When he made his public appearance in 1930, he chose one from among us, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to fulfill the mission in the resurrection of the lost found nation of Islam, identified as the tribe of Shabazz. According to lesson number 2, question and answer 1, our present Asiatic calendar history leaves 9,080 years to go in its completion. But as we discussed in the last several articles, the supreme wisdom teachings and mind of Master Fard Muhammad encompasses an entirely new beginning of civilization on earth and in the heavens above, which will introduce to us ultimately an entirely new solar system and galaxies of stars. And I'll stop there and maybe read a little more throughout the evening. And remember, in the Swan Song, the minister talked to us about the fact that we still have 10,000 years left in this 25,000-year cycle. 10,000 years more of more knowledge that has yet to be revealed, and I will read that from the Swan Song. He said, there is 10,000 more years of knowledge in this 25,000-year cycle. He's talking about when he goes to his father to receive this knowledge. He said, he may give me much of it or some of it to bring back. You pass the test while I am gone. I've been telling you all the time, he has been testing me. Well, you've got to get yours, but you can pass this test. Will you pass it? Will you ask Allah to bless you and strengthen you so you can pass it? And I will be praying for you because you have proved that you are great believers in him. But I have to beg you humbly. You can't get to him without me. He made me a door. I didn't ask him, but I am a door and the door. So I am going to take leave of you now. This was at the end of his lecture. But I sure love you. I really do.
That's
so
right.
That, tonight we celebrate the birth of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan 89 years ago yesterday, and we want to hear from our callers tonight. So we don't expect any complaints tonight, Brother Terrence, about I didn't think you were going to get to me. We're going to have our legal contribution, and then we're going to get right to you. And with that, I am so humbled and pleased to present my beloved sister, who is doing such a great work, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. And, you know, so much is going under the radar. And her work with fighting to hold together the black family, fighting to protect black children, to protect black youth. You know, we have to remember that if we don't do something about the drain of our babies from us, I mean, this is like, Brother Terrence, back in the days of King Herod, at the time of the birth of Jesus, Pharaoh.
That's right.
At the time of the birth of Moses. I mean, they're coming after our babies, open and in our face. And this sister is a great soldier in the battle of the fight for our families. And so with that,
right.
I want to bring back to the microphone the host and moderator of A Time for Justice, Sister Pamela Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Pamela.
Wa alaykum salam, Sister Minister Ava Muhammad and Brother Terrence. You know, Sister Ava, all praises are due to Allah for, you know, it's just amazing to me. I'm so humbled by your words, you know, so and I can't thank Allah enough for you and this
praise
platform
you,
and the listeners and Brother Terrence and, you know, and tonight we're talking about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I think we, you know, can't thank Allah enough for the minister and the guidance that he has given us. And it's so interesting as I'm listening, you know, after my song, talking about how I'm singing for tomorrow and singing about love, that's what that song at the beginning was talking about. But, you know, as you all were talking about the swan song, you know, yes, that's beautiful because that's what the minister is about, you know, teaching us about love. That's so beautiful. But, you know, thinking about the swan song and the minister's words, he talked about the condition of black slaves, you know, and how our sisters' wombs were used to be made slaves. And he talked about how the slave died, you know, but the children were born. And then he said we learned prayer the hard way. So, you know, just in that context, it kind of talks about the report tonight where I'm talking about, you know, how our children are in danger from these child policing agencies, and it brings forth the need for these saviors, like you say, black doctors, these doulas, breastfeeding consultants, you know, we in the community helping to protect our children, you know, as you know, because of this whole condition. And so there's an article about coming out of Chicago, looking at the Department of Children and Family Services in Chicago and the Chicago Police, where there was a lawsuit filed, and this is according to Atlanta Black Star, Chicago Tribune, Black Enterprise reported this story where a Chicago mother filed a lawsuit on April the 20th against a hospital in Chicago because of she's seeking damages for this alleged racially motivated, you know, attack against her when she took her 10-month-old child to this hospital by the name of, it's called Advocate Christ Medical Center in Oakland, and this was in April of 21. Mm-hmm. And her child, this 10-month-old, she took him to the hospital because he has a mark on his ear, which turns out to be a harmless birthmark. However, the doctors called the Child Protection Agency, you know, under the assumption that this black woman had abused her child. And, you know, she says in the lawsuit that they subjected the child to unnecessary tests, head scans, CT scans, you know, the baby, you know, doing this to try to support the claims. You know, the Illinois Department of Services, according to the news, threatened to take the child forcibly if necessary, if she didn't, you know, subject herself. They're saying in assuming that the birthmark was a bruise, you know, and trying to get evidence to support this, you know, they harassed her in this hospital, social workers wrongfully labeling her as homeless. You know, she said in the article that she was made to feel like she was crazy. She said that she was traumatized, mentally anguished is what she's saying in the lawsuit. She's got some statements in this lawsuit from medical people that work there that said white parents don't get treated like that when they bring their children with bruises. You know, they get tested and sent home, but here she was a black mother who had a child with a birthmark, you know, the doctor put in the medical record according to the news that the child had bruising, which was suspicious for a pinching of the ear, and that it's non-accidental trauma. You know, the mom wasn't even allowed to leave, you know, and had to stay with this investigation, and she wasn't allowed to leave, you know, unless she took the child to her uncle, you know, an uncle for several months where this investigation went on. And, you know, the Atlanta Black Star article, really, they talk about how 37% of U.S. children experience a Child Protective Services investigation by the time they're 18, but 53% of black children in the nation experience a Child Protective Services investigation. And then in the state of Illinois, they're saying that black children made up one-third of the total investigations, but are only 14.6% of the state's population. So, you know, again, it just goes back to the slavery that the minister is talking to us about, and how these children were born and are being born under these hostile environments until today. Because in that case, this Illinois case, they're saying the mom, you know, her parental rights were threatened. We hear that, you know, by what, at the end of the investigation, 4 months later, they conclude that, oh, yeah, it wasn't an intentional harm. It was just unfounded. You know, but you're going to take this lady through all this trauma. So in closing, Sister Ava, I just want to say our sister Anissa, in her article in the Final Call, where she talks about the mothers of civilization and the rise and triumph of black women, she notes in this article how the mortality rate of black women, you know, with black being women are 3 times more likely to succumb to maternal mortality, you know, and black babies are four times as likely to die from complications of low birth weight. And just the last thing I want to say is, then we got this baby formula shortage, you know, that they're claiming, and that they're saying that it's gone up in the last 2 weeks from 31% shortage of the popular brands, and now they got 40% shortage of the popular brands. So, you know, I wanted to bring those issues because, again, to me, it goes back to what the minister talked to us about, you know, our conditions of having children during slavery, and that danger is just still so prevalent today. So thank you for your time, and you know, and we'll continue. We're going to continue to fight to educate, advocate, separate, and love our babies, because, you know, I believe that is the time we're living in. So thank you, Sister Ava. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, thank you, beloved. How do you see this issue? My husband had mentioned that to me the other day, this formula shortage. How is it being presented in the news? What's the angle? Because they always have an angle.
Yes, ma'am. That's a great question. Honestly, Sister Ava, you know, it seems to be ramping up a lot of anxiety. I would be very anxious, you know, but then when you go to the stores and you see that the formula is not there, you know, it's really not there in the black community and other communities. And so, you know, I saw an article that talked about how people are stepping forward to have little groups where they're swapping formula amongst each other. And so for us as black people, I feel like, you know, like some people are saying this breastfeeding, you know, we want to encourage breastfeeding. We've always wanted to encourage breastfeeding. I was blessed to be able to breastfeed my babies, so this is a great opportunity to breastfeed, you know,
that's
but it is a concern
thinking.
To me. Yes, ma'am. It's just a concern, though, with the young sisters who may not be in that process right now, and they have babies. So we do have to take note and potentially, you know, be aware that we may have to help some of these young women especially if they don't have money, you know, and we just don't know what this enemy is doing. Is this part of a depopulation agenda? You know.
Yes,
ma'am. Is this what we're seeing?
Yeah, because, you know, what struck me is part of the this pestilence from heaven, the minister said we would be that what we relied upon for sustenance would turn against us. The minister never said you'd have millions and millions of people dying from COVID. And every week some new thing is being revealed about data and statistics being false. The CDC giving the wrong statistics, the FDA giving the wrong statistics, et cetera. And as the handling of the situation gets exposed, in the meantime, you know, we see Satan going to war with Satan. You know, Satan, as an example, Elon Musk purchasing Twitter and the distress that it's causing with groups like the ADL. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, and it sooner or later it was going to happen. He said, Allah will make you separate. And so if we're going to survive the fall of this world and be here for the kingdom of heaven, then separation has to happen. And one of the things we have to return to is our babies drawing their initial sustenance coming into the world from the woman whose womb
that's right.
they came from.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
Know, and each baby, you know, the breast milk of a mother, that breast milk is custom designed for that baby,
that's
even
right.
within a family. Each
that's
child's,
right.
As we say, they call it a formula, but Allah's formula is in that breast. And if, as Mother Tynetta said, there's going to be a new, entirely new beginning of civilization, not only on earth but in the heavens above, it has to start with a new human being, which means that some things that were lost we will return to, but there are other things that have never been revealed before. And so
beautiful.
In the end, as inflation increases and, you know, things cost more, when you have a baby, the Allah has the food right there.
Yes,
for
ma'am.
The baby. And maybe, you know, instead of our 2-year-olds eating Happy Meals and drinking Similac and Bill Gates has a baby formula now. You know, Bill Gates is back in the lab, and one of his companies is making a formula for babies that they say is better than breast milk.
Oh, no.
See, this is Satan. This is Satan.
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
I can do what God can't do, okay? But it just came in my mind, you know, thinking about that
yes.
we are going to have to break from this devil. And he's been feeding us this artificial stuff for decades now. You know, and it,
yes,
and it all began when women had to leave the house and go out in the workplace. You know, not necessarily
yes,
because she's achieved a profession, but because they broke up the family and women became the head of the household.
Yes, ma'am.
And the black man is deprived of any legitimate path to financial security And so even when he does get some income, it's usually insufficient to support a household. So everybody's got to go out. You know, they've never wanted to let go of slavery, never. And from the time of the Emancipation Proclamation and then the 13th Amendment, they've been doing everything they can to put us back into enslavement. And so, you know, Allah, I don't know what's up under this shortage. I don't know if Bill Gates is going to, you know, when the formula does show up again,
right,
it's going to be his product. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, it's like they pull everything back and then they come out with something you've never seen before. And you're right, we need to. And the minister told us, open up the classes, the FOI and MGT classes to the community. You know, we have to go out and not always under the banner of the religion, but Islam is a way of life. And so, if white Martha Stewart can make billions of dollars off the MGT class units, the 7 units.
That's right. Yes,
you know,
that's right.
Why should we be on YouTube, you know, explaining and dispelling these myths to these young girls who are told, oh, it's going to drag your breasts are going to be pulled
right
out of shape. And don't get me started on that.
Yeah.
Going down that road. It's like, girl, you don't even have a husband now. Okay, so that shouldn't be your concern.
Yes.
You know, because what did showing yourself to all these men get you but single parenting?
That's right.
Okay. And you're already worried about the next man and what he's going to think about how you look when the first one isn't there doing anything. Nobody even knows where he is. So we need to be out here teaching this and explaining this.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, we have
force
the men to rise up. The nation can rise no higher than its woman.
Beautiful.
You know, they want to sterilize us. That's what they want to do with us. That's what this vaccine. That's why they're so anxious to get these vaccines into these babies. This thing is gone. It's endemic. This pathogen, this coronavirus, is part of life now. Oh, there was new cases. There are new cases. Then 10 minutes later, but of course the hospitalizations and the deaths they're the same. They just keep dropping. But they want to keep a certain level of fear, so as they keep coming out with these booster shots, and sooner or later something's going to click in the brain. You don't get a vaccine 5 times a year.
Right.
You know, it's supposed to be for life. It's supposed to activate your immune system, which is crazy in and of itself anyway. Because your immune system will respond when the real pathogen comes. You don't have to put one in a person. That's the mind of Satan. So now you got, have you noticed every presidential election, there's only one or two subjects that's discussed, and it's never racism. But one of the constant huge themes, central themes of every election is what? Abortion.
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
What kind of country is this that's fixated on the issue of killing unborn children? And what side of that are you on? I didn't know there was
that's right.
a side. And so now you have a certain type of awakening happening in the country among the a large segment of the white community, which I believe will be the same segment that will agree to and submit to the division of this country. You know, they'd love to have black people overpopulate a certain area, and they can go on and live in South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, and all of that.
Mm. Yes, ma'am.
And Donald Trump was the person to do that. Joe Biden has been a disaster thus far with his free home test kits. And gas in Chicago, premium gas in Chicago is $6 a gallon. And the United States has its own oil. Now, all of a sudden, Russia is our main supplier. How did Russia get to be our oil supplier? I never heard this in my entire life. Everybody the United States gets into it with is our oil supplier. It's Iraq. It's Libya. Well, you subsumed Iraq. You went in there and killed everybody and took over. So gas ought to be a dollar a gallon, not to mention all the oil that is right under the ground in the United States and Canada. So you're dealing with, and I'm going to stop talking so I don't take up the whole program, but you're dealing with a demon, with Satan. And everything he touches is death, turns to death. So anyway, let me shut up and let's start taking calls from our beautiful guests who we already invited to come on and weigh in and share what they wish to. And as Brother Terrence emphasized, we want to express our gratitude to the God for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And as you heard me just read to you from the Swan Song, we have 10,000 more years of knowledge remaining in this 25,000-year cycle, and the minister's going to get that knowledge from the wheel. Hey, you can take it or let it alone. But by now, even a blind person can see this man has a power backing him that no one else has. And his, what used to be prophetic sayings are now just declarations. He calls it and it happens. And nothing happened faster or more. It was so mind-blowing when he said, don't take that vaccine. And it wasn't even out of the lab yet. And we have no idea how many lives were saved because of that. No idea. So with that, let's get start with our dear sister, Ula. Assalamu alaikum. Well, Sister Ula.
Well,
I know you
had to
sleep.
I had to throw that in. So, Ava, I got to go back to 1976 when a group of us drove to Erie, Pennsylvania to see the minister. And
wow.
He was speaking in a church outside of Erie, Pennsylvania. And what had all the, even the mayor of Erie started laughing when Minister Farrakhan said the word N-I-G-G-E-R, you know, because you know that's what they call us, you know. And the one thing that struck me about that meeting that was held at that little church was what he said, the woman the man didn't know whether to get in the drawer or to get in, you know, where he should be, you know. You know that joke he always tells. So I had to throw that in because that was one of the most beautiful experiences that I could relate to when you started thinking, talking about how we need to, we should express gratitude and in our prayers ask Allah to divinely bless our minister, to bless us as a group, as, oh Allah, bless Muhammad and all the true followers of Muhammad, as Allah did bless Abraham and all the true followers of Abraham, because we are truly blessed. And all we have to do is listen to his wise instructions, you know, like the messenger said, and he'll guide us on to the other side. Thank you for letting me share. Love you, Sister Ava, and the flight attendant.
Assalamualaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Oh, beautiful call. 1976. Woo, beautiful, beautiful testimony. Let's see. All righty. We have.
Okay.
Isn't it amazing?
I mean, it's going to be amazing.
Year after, huh?
No, that's 1 year what?
1 year after the departure.
Right.
1976.
Exactly.
So at that time,
yes, ma'am,
he was still under Warith Uddin Muhammad.
Right, right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one thing, Dr. Ava, when we say that, you know, it's so much history that we, you know, that we should just be, we should just give some flood of some of the commentary and the history of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, because some people just take stuff for granted. Like, you know, we show up at the mosque, we show up here, we show up there, we go to this meeting, we go to this national, but we really don't understand some of the work and some of the things that it took and some of the things that went on. As I talked to one of my brothers, Brother Anthony, better known as Brother Squirrel in D.C., and he was like, yes, I used to be on stage back in those days, you know, recording, and Brother Sharif had talked about Brother Squirrel and getting a press pass for Brother for someone to go with the minister here or be there, or and just the different things that people sacrificed and made to bring this nation back. So it's one thing, like we say, we can wear the name Rashid and Abdul and all these names now, but what was the price that had to be paid back then? To wear these names? What do we have to suffer?
Yeah.
What do we have to go through? What do people have to do? And when we talk about typing and typesetting the final call, not no computer, no, the whiteout back in the day, the typewriters, and printing the newspaper for us, you know, and all of the things that we had to do. So I'm bringing that up because when we talk about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, don't come over here and tell me you ain't got nothing to say. Nothing to say about
Whoa.
The image of black people around the world was a negative image until the Million Man March. And when they saw the Million Man March and he started doing a world
Come
tour,
on.
He said people said, I saw the Million Man March. And they saw a different image of the black man than they had been seeing all along. When the killings were going around, he went on to Stop the Killing tour. People don't remember the men's only meeting where people were throwing literally their weapons down at the checkpost, all kinds of weapons that you knew they had to find to get and pay money for, left them at the door, didn't care because they wanted to get in, left their cars on the Brooklyn Bridge, left them on the bridges because they wanted to come in to see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. When there was street beef, when there was beef with the neighborhoods and the Bloods and the Crips, it was the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. East Coast, West Coast beef, it was the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. When, you know, they raided the mosque prior to 75 in New York, it was because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan went to the little man in the streets, talked to the little man. There's a video where you can see people smoking around him, and they looking, but then they start being attentive. They start waking up as he started teaching. The cigarettes went down because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had genuine love for our people. And it's very interesting. You say he was born in the Bronx. Where did hip-hop start? In the Boogie Down. So, you know, I'm just saying there's some coincidences there that we need to recognize who this man is 6 decades. It's not just a coincidence. You know, when you say 6 decades, people,
and
not 6 decades are just walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, not just 6 decades. He went to that FOI class, his first FOI class, talking about he going to take this to every nook and cranny. That was his statement in the FOI class. this FOI class, and we can know for a surety every nook and cranny that man has been all around the world three times over, four times over, preaching the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, lifting his teacher's name up, not his name, his teacher's name up. And because he made his great commission known, God has made him known all throughout the world. So I want to plug that before you go to this next caller, because I just need you to hear about Farrakhan, because he's 89 years strong on his birth anniversary yesterday. And he is wishing us all to see the hereafter. That's a man who loves not just him, but all of us. That's why he wants us to settle our differences. Back to you, Dr. Ava.
And for him to want that for us, it's a done deal.
That's say
for
that
us
again.
To blow it. It's for us to
That's
blow
right.
it.
Come on.
Because he is loved. He is adored by Master Farid Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah
yes.
Muhammad. They adore him. And whatever he wants, he's going to get it. That's why we're still around. Because we should have been out of here.
That's right. That's right.
You know, time was technically up in 1914.
That's right.
And had not Allah God loved us so much, we would have been out of here. And then remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that at a certain point, Master Farid Muhammad got so angry, he wanted to kill all of us.
Right.
And when I say us, I mean the black nation.
That's right.
You know, we can't excuse ourselves because we weren't there. This is the family. We're the tribe of Shabazz. You know, so the
That's
faith
right.
of our fathers is our faith. You know, and so we're so blessed that we still have him. That's unheard of in the annals of the history of black people in America. For us to have a leader, a real one, who has been sustained this long.
This long, that's right.
And whose communication skills and strength of mind and spirit have not diminished one iota. Not one iota. But they take our leaders out before they see 40. This is a miracle. This is what those who come after us, they'll see it. They'll call this a miracle. I just hope we see it too. I hope I see it. And by that I mean, I hope I behave as though I know this is the truth.
Exactly.
And can be grateful to witness it in my face.
Live and direct.
But,
that's right,
yeah,
live
see,
and direct.
You fired up.
All right,
so
callers, I know y'all ready to testify. They're
all
ready
right,
to testify,
the party
Dr. Ava.
It's on and popping, the birthday party. And we can't celebrate the 89th birth anniversary of Minister Louis Farrakhan without Brother Hoyle.
Oh, praises due to Allah. You know, man, praises due to Allah. Prayers with you, Brother Terrence. And keep up the good
thank
work
you,
for the rest
you.
Of the team. Sister Pamela, Sister Donna, Sister Rona, and all the superstars on the team. You know, Sister Ava, you're doing an excellent job. And I wanted to say this. You know, we were talking about breastfeed. You know, it wasn't no breast formula back in the slave days. So,
say that.
You know, back in the 1900s, yeah. But just to, you know, celebrate and thank Allah for that beautiful call. That birthday, I want to thank all the brothers on the tech, the council on the tech team that did that beautiful job. The morning, and he said, "I pray that all of you will see the hereafter, and that you will and in your personal lives, Allah's peace will prevail, that will iron out all differences among us, and get ready for Allah to take us through the most difficult days." That any people have ever had to endure. So,
come on.
You know, that's telling us something, Sister Ava. You know, and I wanted to add on to that, well, beautiful, you know, you were reading the article of Mother Tynetta, but right next to it, and I'm like, wow, yeah, Brother Jabril brought it. Now, listen, family, he said this. He said, Muslims are always convinced that Allah's hands are always over all hands. Muslims are always convinced that Allah is always working out things in a way that is best. Nothing escapes his attention. He is perfectly just and true. Furthermore, he has the power to bring about the best for us. And then he says, so Allah's involvement in withholding what is really our due is always for reasons that are best for us. Too often we narrow our focus on the one or the ones we see as responsible for our pain. Too often we stop there. However, if we remain too long mode rather than the pause mode, we stunt our growth. Wow. And you know, he's basically saying in this article, our attitude towards Allah profoundly influenced not only our attitude towards everyone, but also our power to act on his word, especially when we are not in trouble, when it's seldom in this evil world. So Minister Farrakhan, I thank him for his life and his Mother Samaya for giving him, because like I was telling Sister Ava, Brother Shahid, and studied in the study group last Friday. I said, Minister Farrakhan gave us the cheat sheet. All we got to do is read and act on it and be righteous to pass the test. You know, I pray, Allah, that I don't, like you said, we don't turn back. We'll get to the door and we'll turn back. So all we have to do is stay focused. Like Sister Ava, you giving us cheat sheets when you, you know, this beautiful show. When we plug into this show, there's no reason, you know, because this is a lot of cheat sheets to answer for us to get through the time with all of our beautiful testimonies. And Brother Terrence, and your strength through what you're going through, brother, I'm proud of you, brother. So you're just a beautiful example, brother. You like me, you know, I'm traveling all over the place dealing with car breakdowns, the police and all kind of stuff. Dealing with traveling, and I'm still calling on the show when I was at the airport dealing with foolishness and all that. So, you know, we still call in, brother. So, you know.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, this is our post to help our sister. And I want to thank all the callers. And, you know, we're on this separation team to save anything you need. We got your back. So just want to thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Stay with him. Let's feed on his word. He's given us the cheat sheets to pass this test. All we got to do is read and act on it. You're dang fool if you don't. I mean, it's on you,
and,
really. Cause
yes.
All of, it's,
and it's so
am I right, Sister Ava? Yes, ma'am.
Mm.
I mean, it's right there. All of these beautiful lectures. He's coming on every morning. I mean, in the paper, final call, Sister Ava, you told us, read this final call. This final call, you'll be a scholar almost. Read it from the front to the back.
That's right.
Don't just leave it in your car. Read it. Study it. This is enough to wake a whole nation up. Yes, ma'am. But I'm going to let somebody else talk. All praises due to Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. May Allah bless him and his family, the council, the family of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the believers. Let's settle our differences. And let's love each other. Minister Farrakhan also said, our love for each other, he wants to see. He wants to see our love. So let's settle our differences so we can get to the other side. It's no excuse.
And show your love.
I love
show
y'all.
Love.
And nothing y'all can do about it. Like Brother Danny, our brother in Memphis, he say, I love y'all and nothing you can do about it.
All right now.
All right. All right. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say also, in regards to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's words, on the Swan Song, he said, when we have a problem, solving the problem gives ease and peace. And I think that's such a simple, you know, maxim, if you'll say it, but it's like such a great guidance. And, you know, it's like Brother Hoyle was saying, sometimes if you take one sentence of the minister's words, you know, it'll give you so much advancement and development. It reminded me what Brother Terrence said about the Stop the Killing tour. You know, that was a message. That was a big message, and it just turned the enemy's plans on his head. And so now he's telling us things about internal struggles. And I just wanted to say in closing, so again, when we have a problem, solving the problem gives ease and peace. And so going back to that breastfeeding thing, you know, it's like it's so easy to breastfeed. It's so affordable to breastfeed, and it's so healthy for your baby to breastfeed the baby. They have antibiotics that just jump out anytime they have an infection when you breastfeed them. You know, so again, solving the problem, and again, so the miracle is making the blind see and the dumb and the deaf, you know, the deaf hear and the dumb speak or whatever. This is the miracle that I see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan giving us many times. So I just wanted to say that.
Beautiful. No, that's a beautiful observation. Yes, ma'am. Oh, praise is due to Allah. Thank you for that, beloved. All right, let's see. We're going to go. We have our moderator, Project Separation, Building Our Promised Land, our monthly Zoom program. Sister Donna Muhammad is on the line. She also designs our flyers for Thursday night on Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Donna.
Well, alaikum salam, sisters, to the Minister Ava Muhammad and the whole Elevated Places team. It's such an honor to be with you all this evening on the tribute to the minister. And so
yes,
I wanted to share a little brief testimony.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm going to try to do it without getting choked up because of the timing. Because my own father passed last year, May. At the age of 89.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, my birthday's tomorrow. So I always have the mixed feelings because my father's passing around this time, and then it's close to the minister's birthday. So, it's beautiful. It's bittersweet. But what I wanted to share about that in relationship to my father and the minister and my mother and the beauty of the minister, because he does so much, and he travels the world. But then, as all of you on the program will bear witness, he also takes time with personal care and concerns. Of the believers, the individual, he's invested in our lives. And so in this particular instance, it was back in 94, he was preaching Why Preach Jesus at First Iconium Church in Atlanta. And I joined the nation. I registered in 91. And my family, they're big supporters of me all the time. But when I joined the nation, my parents became kind of indifferent. They tried to act like that part of my life just didn't exist. You know, it's like, we're just going to kind of sweep that to the side and act like you're not. And so I was, you know, that really, like, hurt me, that part of it, because our family's close. But during that time, I was blessed to be able to be on the minister's cooking and serving team. And we traveled where he went, up and down the East Coast, providing his food and service for him. Well, we came to Atlanta for that. And they let me have the night off so that my parents could come. I convinced them to come see the minister. And we're standing in line. And all of a sudden, one of the members of the E-team came and got my parents out of line and took them to the front, took them into the VIP section and sat them in the front row in the church. So first of all, I'm like overwhelmed. Even though they did leave me in the line, I still had to go through the regular check line. But eventually I joined them on the front row. And it was just an amazing experience. So I'm sitting on the front row with my parents as we're listening to the minister teach Why I Preach Jesus. And then later that evening in the minister's suite, I got a chance to go up there, even though I wasn't working that evening, and talk to him. And he took a moment. He said, you know, He talked about my parents. He said, I saw your mother. Now, my family says says this all the time, too. My mother's mannerisms, demeanor, and expressions that she had, they mirror the minister's. Some of the expressions that he makes are exactly like she does. Even my children be like, oh, that's just like Nana does. So he did her. He imitated her. He was like, I saw that way in my words. He was like, but we got her. But my father, he just said, your father, we got him. And I'm sitting there crying, right? And from then on, their whole perspective and view changed. And it was so impressive. It was so beautiful. But what hit me the most was just recently I was sharing that, because I was looking for a copy of that. And I called a brother that does the recordings for the Hassan, you know, and I was asking him about if there was a copy available, I would love to have that. And he asked me a question I never thought of, and he said, well, who directed them to do that? Who told them to go out there and get your parents? And I was like, wow, that never dawned on me. I don't even know how all that went down. But how it went and whoever said it put them in there at that moment. And so that's really impactful to me now in this hour, having lost both of them, you know, both my parents pretty much close together. But for him to say that just solidified and cemented our relationship again.
Yes.
And, you know, there's plenty of narratives I won't go into, but that's how much he'll take care of and the fact that he noticed my parents
exactly.
during that meeting. And then to speak on
that's
it
how
to
humble.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that for so many of us. He loves us all. And then there's opportunities, though, when there's that personal, there are words of guidance that I've gotten from him directly that have fed me through and helped me carry out certain actions. So with everything, with the weight of his word, his battle against Satan, to bring out Satan in the midst of all of that and all his enemies as he has enumerated, he takes this time and he makes personal phone calls and he gets involved in our personal affairs, too. So I'm personally forever grateful for him. I'm forever grateful for you as his spokesperson and the time that we had under you as the Southern Regional Minister and the atmosphere that you set of love, family, and relationships, which is why my husband and I are about to be celebrating our 23rd wedding anniversary.
All right.
Next month. Shouting out the fact that we were the first married couple under you as the Southern Regional Minister.
Wow,
and the inspiration that he had to appoint you, and your name is on our marriage certificate. But, you know, just even that act of inspiration in that moment when he talked about how he appointed you when he had someone else in mind. An inspiration. And so, you know, I still feel like the recipient of blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And as Brother Hoyle, and as I close out, as Brother Hoyle said, we have no excuse. Everything is out there. He has poured himself out to us over and over again. He doesn't reserve it. He pours it out and pours it out and pours it out and pours it out and is there. And if we're stumbling, it's because we're stumbling over our own feet. And I thank Allah that he even let us know that Allah will not punish us if we are in repentance.
Yeah,
so
that's
I've been studying into that word,
I'm
and I'm
so
trying to
relieved.
Stay in repentance.
That gives such relief to the believer.
So
I know,
I
think
you for
on
this
that
opportunity.
Much.
Yes, and
ma'am.
May Allah bless
thank
you all
you.
And continue the elevated conversations on Elevated Places Network. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, beloved. Walaikum salam. Beautiful. Beautiful testimony.
That's amazing.
Okay,
yes.
Isn't it? We have Sister Lisa out of Boston. That looks like a Boston area code. Oh, yes.
You are so
and,
right.
Assalamu alaikum.
You know, area code. Can you hear me, Sister Ava?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. And Brother Terrence, I send my deepest condolence to you and your family.
Thank you.
And, yes, sir, I want to go all the way back to the baby food. My assumption on baby food is that they are attacking the baby food, first off, to see our reaction. If they put the baby food and the mothers can't get the baby food, then they're looking at, well, what are the people going to do? We're going to attack the babies first, because in the long run, when we go in there to get food, we're not going to find any food as well. Now, the other thing I wanted to comment on was the Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade is really going after the white woman to stop her from having abortions. 60%
yes.
of the abortions are by white women. If
yes,
they keep
ma'am.
On having these abortions, they're gonna be extinct by the year 2025, 2030, or somewhere around that area. They will no longer exist. They're not having babies as it is, and if they and if they abort the babies, the ones that they are having, they're not going to have any children. They will become the new minority.
That's right.
And Bill Gates.
Yes, ma'am.
Bless his soul. Lord have mercy. God, just keep on getting after him with his devilish behind. He's got COVID.
Yes, ma'am.
He's got COVID. And
yes,
the last thing I want to say, Sister Ava, is that black people, because I'm just looking at black people, the youth and so forth, they are truly coming aware of what's going on with this separation, that we don't need white people amongst us anymore, and we can do better by ourselves. And that is truly the true answer to our problem is separation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And
beautiful,
we have to continue to read that final call, because the final
That's
call
right.
has a lot of good information in there every week. A lot of papers that we used to get here locally in Boston. They're not in production anymore. You can hardly find them. You have to go to a stand or go to the supermarket. You know, you just don't see them like we used to see them. But the Final Call newspaper is there every week by the brothers. And that information is current. It's up to date.
Right.
The minister's looking over that paper, like you said. And so we need to have that paper in our hands every week and read it from front to cover. I want to close with reading words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum. Thank you.
Wa alaikum salam. Beautiful call, Sister Lisa. And several things. I first want to share, Sister Rona, our producer, sent a text that Allah solved the perceived milk shortage before it was manifested with COVID. Now more women are working from home and running business from home and have the time to breastfeed. This is Allah's divine order. So, you know, Satan plans and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. Because like Sister Lisa just said, and yes, it's the white males are trying to stop their woman from killing their offspring, but inadvertently you're saving black babies. Because we were losing, I forgot the period of time. I remember Brother Ishmael spoke on it from the rostrum last year on all of the black children, black babies who were murdered by abortion. It was like 600,000 in a short, relatively short period of time. And so that, along with the shutting down of this formula, and it's amazing because Satan always tells you what he's doing. He's going to tell you his formula. it's amazing. Just like Bill Gates, Sister Lisa brought up Bill Gates. First of all, Allah is whipping him because he looks terrible. I think he's in his mid-60s, and he looks like Minister Farrakhan's father, okay? He is wrinkled and you know, now he's divorced. But he sat there. This is Satan for you. He sat there, and he was on being interviewed on the Today Show to discuss what to do. The theme was where we are in the pandemic, where we are. Now, here's a man that has no background whatsoever in any of the sciences that have anything to do with pathogens, infections, health, none of that. What he does have is billions of dollars and a desire to kill black babies. But he sat there and looked into the camera. He said, we're preparing, listen to his words, for the next pandemic because we weren't prepared and we should have been better prepared. But thankfully, he said, this virus was not very infectious. And it had a 0.003% death rate. Then he sort of snickered and said, it's not like smallpox, which has a 30% death rate. Well, we told you in the final call, in the COVID section that I edit, and the research team, primarily Dr. Rizzi Muhammad, Brother Alan Muhammad and his beautiful wife up there in the Boston area. They told us, and of course Minister Farrakhan is the publisher of this newspaper, and not only are most of the black papers gone, but the ones that are around, there's nothing in them. But we told you that the this virus never qualified for emergency vaccine. In order for you to get emergency use authorization, Brother Reza Islam has spoken on this to the point of exhaustion. In order for you to, for the government to allow an experimental product, this thing is an experiment. This is how the American people, black and white, have been so dumbed down, that you allow yourself and your children to be an experiment. And it's not even a vaccine. It's gene therapy. It's manipulation of your DNA. But in order to get emergency use authorization, there are criterion in the federal law that have to be met for you to jab somebody with an experiment. One of the requirements is that the infectious pathogen has to have a high death rate. COVID-19 never had a high death rate. Never. What it did have was, as the minister talked about in the swan song, is the most aggressive vaccine campaign in history. They terrified everybody with these numbers on the screen every day. First of all, they were lying because they were using a test that doesn't even detect what they call COVID-19. They used a cold virus to develop the COVID test. Many of the people who died, you know who killed them? The hospitals killed them with ventilators, with neglect, with a drug called remdesivir. Remdesivir is a drug that destroys your kidneys. Anthony Fauci sent a memorandum out to all of the hospitals in this country at the beginning of this pandemic, authorizing the use of one drug, remdesivir, which was killing people left and right, and they're still using it, and it just got authorized for babies. But this man sat and looked in the camera and told America, we're a bunch of liars. And he got away with it. Because we're so disobedient to God that we can't think straight. And you can run any kind of game on us. But I apologize for getting a little excited and loud. But it's just that every word of Scripture is coming to pass. Every word in Fall of America, message to the black man, our Savior has arrived. Minister Farrakhan gave us 58 episodes of the time and what must be done in 2013, and went line by line and broke down the depopulation agenda of the United States of America. This is her policy to kill black people. Negroes happy to get Joe Biden as the president. Joe Biden worked with the Clintons to send black youth to prison. Joe Biden is just as much of a redneck as Donald Trump from Western Pennsylvania, Scranton, which is, you know, Mississippi is no worse than where he's from. But we are so blind, deaf, and dumb, many of us. So we can't accept that Allah chose a black man. We can't accept that the originator of the heavens and the earth is a black man, that what came out of the blackness of space is a black man. We just can't accept it as a people. But we better accept it because there is no more time. The truth has been told. It's plain as day. No one can say they didn't hear it and they didn't understand it. And the devil's telling you himself that he's the devil. So may Allah bless us that we display gratitude for his mercy in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We've got Brother Mark on the line, and he has a comment and a question. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Mark.
Wa alaykum salam, Sister Student Minister Ava, and Big Black Terrence, and all the staff of Elevated Places. Ava, I thank Allah so much for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because when he spoke to us this past May the 11th, his birth anniversary of 89 years strong, it brought me to tears. I started crying uncontrollably because the love that he has for us is the love that Master Fahd Muhammad and the exalted Christ, the most honored Elijah Muhammad, has for us. It's a love that's strong as a mother's love. It's stronger than a mother's love. Because
yes,
he cares about
is.
All of us. And when it's stronger than a mother's love, that's God's love right there. And to listen to the minister, he let us know that he wants all of us to make it. He said, you know, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him that some of us would turn, the weak ones would turn right at the door. We'd turn right around at the door. And he prayed to the God for us that even the weaker ones of us, that we wouldn't turn around, that we would all make it. And I said to myself, I'm crying as he's saying that because the love that I felt at that point in time, I had never felt before. If you can understand what I'm saying. It just touched my very soul that this man loves us. He's given his life for us. And we got to be grateful. And as you were saying earlier, God, you know, wanted to kill us at one time. You know, because he got upset. You said he got sort of angry. And it made me think that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated that it will be a grace period that will last 60 and will go no more than 70 years. And I remember some years back, the minister was doing calculations on the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, in one of his lectures, in about the 70 years that we were at that point. But then I thought the calculation started with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and it's just my thinking. In 1955, and that grace period of 60, go no more than 70 years. So I just added 70 years to 1955, Sister Ava, and I got 2025. This thing is about to bust wide open, Sister Ava. It ain't going past. I just don't believe it's going past that. The minister is that timepiece that we've been on. And that 70-year period, it's up in 2025. He has 70 years. I just believe America will be no more as we know it. In these next 2.5 years, it's going to be real hell. But the thing is, like Brother Hoyer was saying, we got a cheat sheet that the minister's giving us. And we got a cheat sheet that we can use in class. And if the teacher sees us, we still won't get in trouble. But if we don't use this cheat sheet and if we don't pass, we dumb it in a bag of rocks. We deserve what we get. And we start a bank. You know? And it's not hard to submit. We all got to submit. We all going through something. Because we at the end of this time. We at the end of time. The white man's rule. And we got to come to grips with that. Quit worrying about your credit score and how much money you got in the bank. We better submit to this God and Father was Farrakhan to the teeth.
Right.
You worrying about some damn money. You know? You worrying about your credit score. Where you going to live at? If we follow the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, we going to eat because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said his followers are going to eat. Well, I'm trying to be one of them followers to the teeth, to the best of my ability, because I don't want my stomach touching my spine when this thing go down. You know? And Sister Ava, what you said about Joe Biden is so real. But the whipping is going to come because, like you said, we don't want to see a black man being God. We don't see a black man being a representative of God and teaching the truth. We know the minister's teaching the truth because you said last week the people have no problem basically with the religion. It's the discipline they don't want. We like this world so much that we don't want this discipline. But we're going to be forced to, and we're going to be a great people because Master Farah Muhammad's will is not going to be broken. But the question I wanted to ask you, Sister Ava, why would you think that Sister Kamala Harris, after calling Joe Biden out being a racist and stopped her from going to school when she was a little girl, the integration part, why do you think she wanted to be vice president? Why, you know, what thinking was in her mind, would you say, was in her mind, Sister Ava?
In all honesty, Brother Mark, don't know what her motives are, except to know. I mean, clearly she's very ambitious. All I can go by is her resume. That's all I know about her. And you know, she chose to marry a Caucasian, and it's very ambitious. Politician, U.S. senator. And so, of course, it would be a great achievement to be the first black woman. And she tends to change from time to time her self-description. I remember the night of the election, she called herself a black woman. But then because of her mother's heritage, she has called herself Southeast Asian. Her father was from Jamaica, so I mean you're clearly, sister, you're a black woman, okay? But I just think she's very ambitious.
But Sister Ava, even though I can understand that part being ambitious, but she called him out as a
racist. I don't agree with being that way, but I just think that's what it may be, you know.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I just wanted to give you a viewpoint on it.
Sorry.
But what she calls herself, Southeast Asian or whatever, but I tell you what white folks call her, nigger, and that's it.
I know, listen, say that.
Yes,
say
ma'am.
That.
So pray a lot.
They only recognize two kind of people in this country, white and non-white. If you got a little bit of color, they don't get into all that what you're mixed with.
You're exactly right. Yes, ma'am. We're all praise due to Allah. But once again,
yeah, you get pulled over in the dark on a road.
Yes, ma'am. They'll let you know who you are, especially after you have them lumps upside your head. But all praise
due
to Allah. 89 years for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan being in the universe with us, and we're traveling time with us. And may Allah grant him many, many, many more years. And I thank Allah and can never thank Allah enough for giving us a man like that in this day and time, Sister Ava. May Allah bless us all to see the hereafter like the minister wants us to, and we should want to also. And I love my black nation. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam. Such a beautiful, beautiful call, Brother Mark. Thank you. What witness bearing. All right. We have Brother Derek, and he has a comment. Brother Derek, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam to the family. You know, Dr. Ava, Brother Mark is correct. We have insight, supreme insight. So by the grace of Allah, I have started sounding the alarm in my little area, you know, concerning this coming food shortage. I've been talking to the elders, because we have a circle of elders here. I made mention of it there, and I do it on the radio, because you know as well as I do, sister. For the most part, the people that's going to heed a warning or a call like that are normally the ones that's consciously awake. Now, the ones that's not, them the ones that are going to be knocking at your door. Come on, I smell some food up in there. You know?
That's right.
So therefore, I'm taking my knowledge, and I'm gonna be going to the public. I'm gonna be holding meetings as well. And we're going to be preparing our people for this coming, because you know, Allah knows who he wants the message to go to and who he don't. So our job as Muslims is to teach what we know and do it without fear, because Allah is with us. Now the thing I want to say about Brother Farrakhan is that my first time meeting Brother Farrakhan was the rebirth of Mars 45 here in Houston. Brother Farrakhan flew to Houston by himself on the airplane. No other FOI was with him. He came by himself.
Listen everybody.
He wanted to get out the car and walk in the community a little bit towards the mosque. You know, when I met him, that was my first time meeting. He looked at me and he said to me, you know, Mills got to hug you first. And then he looked at me and said that if you stay in Islam long enough, Allah is going to make you a great man. And I just want to say to all of us who that the minister who have ever have given a word to, you know, through Minister Farrakhan, millions upon millions of us have found our voice. He helped us to find our voice. And yes, man, 89 years. Oh, the brother been teaching, what, when he came in the nation in 1955?
Come
sister,
on.
Sister, if
that's
we
right.
was to do that in terms of minutes, it's just like you, Dr. A, you came in, what, 40 years you've been in this?
That's
clock
right.
how many
I
minutes and how many hours? Yeah. Clock how many hours you've been a part of this. Me, myself, you're going to make my 38 years
wow.
of being in the nation.
Wow.
Brother Terrence, I don't know how many years you
right there with
but look
me,
at
man.
A, yeah. Oh,
right there. Right there.
You right there. And when we step back and look at the amount of hours and days that we have lived up under this, that is a testimony towards us all.
It's a good point.
And I mean, look
wow.
at the beauty of that. And as far as the inside, I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna get off. I'm gonna only give y'all a little part of this, but I'm looking, by the grace of Allah, I'm looking at the future. What will this be without the presence of Brother Farrakhan. We have to look at us now.
Wouldn't exist.
And I've been hearing everybody. That's right. I've been hearing people saying that we got a great test coming. But don't you know it's all written in our hearts now, because Brother Farrakhan helped to put it there. The Honorable Elijah will put it, Imam will put it there, and Master Farad Muhammad. It all is all there, and by us having the insight of the Quran, you can see it, sister. I mean, because I've been reading through the Book of Joseph. And don't you know the plot of what's being planned in these back rooms towards if the minister leave, what they have set up for us is actually in the book. And I'm just gonna share this little bit, and then I'm gonna get off of this. But I wrote these notes. It's from my notes. The Nation of Islam, under the leadership and guidance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, will be gifted the keys of we'll be gifted the keys that will open every door that the earth possesses. There are some who will be given the keys that will usher in freedom and progress for the people. There are some that will be given keys to usher in justice and fair dealings for the people. And there will be some will be given the keys to balance the earth and its people with equality. This is not an overnight work. This is an everlasting expanse of time. Others from distant planets and galaxies will know of our universal works. This is guaranteed through the everlasting mind and reality of the Supreme Master Farad Muhammad. The nation is going to go through a period of great testing after the flight of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to the mother plane. Those who harbor envy towards the nation because of our relationship to Allah, God will seek to distinguish the light of Allah's aura and protection surrounding the nation and its citizens will reach a state of contention, not in the public where the masses can see and hear them, but in secret meetings amongst themselves. So y'all get ready, because the NAACP, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and unfortunately, as we spoke about in the story of Joseph, the one closest to Joseph was the one that put him in that hole, wasn't it?
Yes.
So that's all I call to say, but I'm really looking at this, and boy, it is a sight to see.
All right, now. All right.
All right. So I like, as our young brother say, Brother Kareem, Salaam alaikum.
Beautiful call. You know, I wanted to, Brother Terrence, read from the Holy Quran because one of the amazing things about what's going on here and the fact that the minister had his 89th birth anniversary yesterday. And, you know, you think about all of our leaders who, and I'm not talking about the house Negroes that work for white people and pose as leaders, but I'm talking about black leaders who laid down their lives to help to try to bring us up out of our condition. And, you know, even when you think about Malcolm and Dr. King never seeing 40 years of age, you know, Marcus Garvey being deported, even on the other end of the age scale, a person like Bill Cosby, who was really in line to be a role model, his legacy was his stature as a role model, as a husband and father, and a philanthropist to the black nation. But the minister reaching this age fulfills another component of Scripture where he's alone in fulfilling that. One of them, which I've talked about from the rostrum before, is the role of women in the life of this man and his impact on women and their advancement. There is no other leader of black or white, religious, political, or otherwise, who so heavily impacted and is impacting the comprehension of who the black woman is. And in their own actions as a leader, as being the head of an entity and a head of state and a world leader, has advanced females in real life, not just talked about it academically. But another indicator that this is the Jesus that is written of in Scripture, it was not the one of 2,000 years ago who was killed at the age of 32 or 33, but it's this man. And in the Holy Quran, if you look at Surah 5, verse 110, Allah says, "Jesus, son of Mary, remember my favor upon you and upon your mother when I supported you with the pure spirit and you spoke to the people in the cradle and in maturity." Now, one of the callers, I don't know if it was Brother Hoyle, I don't know which caller it was, and I apologize for that, who talked about the minister, and he referenced it in the Swan Song. He's referenced it more than once. He was registered in the FOI a couple of weeks. And in coming in through processing, every new member was required to come up in front of the class and have some words. And when he was called, I think it was Brother Hoyle, in fact, who brought it up, he said he would take this word into every nook and cranny. And this is when he was 22 years old. See, that's referencing the cradle. A baby coming in. Then Allah said to him, "You spoke to the people in the cradle and in maturity." See, there is no one with this record qualitatively or quantitatively. And black people have never been able to have the favor of being able to have a such sustained leadership. And we're not talking, again, we're not talking about a prominent Negro or a house servant. We're talking about true independent, an independent leader. In fact, confrontational, powerful, strong, influential leadership. And Brother Derek just talked about a test, and I'm going to be quick because we're just about out of time. But remember in the Swan Song when he said, "It's your song." And he said, Imam Warithuddin Muhammad said, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad left, he said, "Time to take a test." Imam Warithuddin Muhammad was the professor that gave us the test. And most of us failed, including me. This is the minister talking. Then he says to us, this is in the Swan Song, "Well, what do you mean, test? What are you talking about? In order for you to get to the next level, you have to be competent at the level that you function on. He taught us that God is a man. Don't forget that. He said that man, the Son of Man, came from the east like it is written and walked among us. That man that came, Master Fard Muhammad, he is the master of that will. And remember in our lessons, our teachings, the most profound words ever spoken, certainly in this cycle of history, the most profound words, four words ever spoken, God is a man. Because everything we do, everything we think, everything we say emanates from whether or not we accept and believe that. That is the key to our salvation and our freedom. We will never break the chains. We will never cut the umbilical cord with our former slave master until we are free from spookism. And we cannot, and only we know, as he said in the Swan Song again, he said, who you are in private is, or what you are in private is who you truly are. See, it's not who you are out in front of everybody. It's who you are in private. And so all of us, each of us, we have to confront the truth of what we believe. Because if you cannot believe or accept that God is a man, then you cannot accept Master Fard Muhammad having the mind of the originator. You can't accept that. Then you can't accept anything he did. And you can't accept the significance of what he did. You can't accept him orchestrating or engineering the construction of a half-mile by half-mile aircraft that was built to destroy this world. You can't believe that if you believe in a spook. And if you don't believe who he is, how can you believe who the one he raised is? You can't accept him as God. You can't accept the grandson of slaves as the exalted Christ. And if you can't accept the exalted Christ, then you can't accept Minister Farrakhan having the authority and power to say the things he says and do what he does. And lastly, even though we witnessed so much of this ourselves with our own eyes, if we're spooky, we can find a way to dismiss what we're literally what we're looking at. So, Brother Terrence, I think we're about ready to close out. If you had any closing statements?
Oh, no. I mean, I think that's all the statement that we need. That was very clear. Accept your own and be yourself. Those are other six words.
Exactly.
So that was it, and we are just continuously thankful to God for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Happy 89th first anniversary.
Yes, and we pray a lot. We will continue to have him because that's our other protection. As long as he's
among us. That's right.
He said that in the criterion too. His presence is a protection. Because as I said to someone I was talking to yesterday or today, I think I said to a couple people, and they were speaking about a short window of time, and I said, no, we have no window. We have no window.
That's right.
We're just basking in Allah's mercy. You know, justice is when you get what you deserve. Mercy is when God shows you his favor and overlooks giving you what you deserve and gives you another chance. And that's what we're getting now. Because none of us want what we deserve. We want mercy and favor. And we thank Allah for it in the person of our beloved messenger Messiah, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So, Brother Terrence, thank you, beloved. I want to thank Sister Rona Muhammad, our executive producer, Sister Pamela Muhammad, our legal contributor, Sister Donna Muhammad, our host and moderator of our building our promised land. And each and every one of you who are so beautiful and you call in weekly or log in at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces, may Allah continue to bless and protect us. And thank you, Minister Farrakhan, for your expression of our guaranteed victory if we just obey God. May Allah bless us all with love and the light of understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.